Welcome to the new. Every experience with God's Word promises to be refreshing and transformational. Receive today's message with high expectations as it brings power, light, and a fresh anointing to your life.
I'd like you to write down something that the Lord did for you last year that you can remember. Something, just one thing. Just write it down quickly. If there's one thing last year you remember that it did for you, just write it down, please. If you're at home, please, I want you to participate in this exercise. I want to show you something miraculous that's going to happen in your life. Have you done that? All right. If you've done that, and those at home done that, if you've done that, we're going to take that song again together. And you're going to lift that, what you've written, you're going to lift it to Him again and sing with conviction. Did you hear what I said? You're going to sing that song with conviction. You know what? Why I told you to write those things down? Because by writing it down, I've laid hope in your hands that He's done it before. Oh, He's sure going to do it again. I've laid hope in your hands. And now you can convert your hope to faith. Praise the Lord. Can you do that? Lift your hands.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Lord who made heavens and earth. He said He will not suffer. Lord. Your mighty power upon us in the authority name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Welcome someone to church. Those online, can we clap for our online audience? Welcome to church. You can make it louder, they can hear you. Fantastic. And those online, can you clap for us as well? We give you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Oh, someone shout, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
Say, I'm a believer. And with a believer, there are no ifs. Anything is possible. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe the word of God. It is light to my path. It is illumination to my direction. And because I believe the word of the Lord, my destination is sure. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for this word that you've given to us this evening. Thank you because it's rich enough to go around for everyone. Thank you, Lord, because we'll be so fed. And most importantly, your spirit will empower us to do that which you want us to do so that we can see that which you want us to see. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Let's read from verse 12 and let's read the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version. If you're here, you can share the link on right now so that others can join in. I'm teaching on triumph and I'm focused on dealing with the spirit of discouragement. Dealing with the spirit of discouragement. This is going to be one of the most powerful messages on discouragement you have ever heard in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you there? All right, let's read the scripture together. Everybody, one, two, and I'd like you, those online, physically present, I want those online to hear your voice. So I want you to roar it. Amen. All right, let's go. One, two, ready, go. Against flesh and blood, contending only with spiritual opponents, but against the rulers, against the power, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Next verse, verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God. And having done everything, to stand firm, immovable, victorious. Next verse, verse 14. So stand firm and hold your ground. Having tightened the wide band of truth around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation. Next verse, verse 16. Verse 17. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. All right. We're going to read the Amplified Version, and after which we're going to read the NKJV Version. Are you there? All right. Let's go. The Amplified Version first. 1, 2. Ready. Read. Next verse. No, let's, sorry. Next verse. The other version, pardon me. That's the NKJV. Hallelujah. This evening, I'm teaching on the subject I've titled The Spirit of Heaviness. The Spirit of Heaviness. And I want to start by reading the book of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. And I want to read it in the TPT version. Let's read it together, everybody. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. The TPT version. Fantastic. Are you there? All right. 1, 2, ready, and let's read. To strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful banquet. The oil of because of this, now the Bible speaks in this text about the spirit of heaviness. What is the spirit of heaviness? You see, when you study the Bible, there are many things you read and you sort of glance through it and you interpret it based on what you understand of that word from the English perspective. But every word, listen to me, every word you see in the Bible has the literal English meaning, but every word also in the Bible also have a spiritual connotation to it. So for example, if you see the oil of joy, what does the word oil of joy mean? And then if you see the spirit of heaviness, what does the spirit of heaviness mean in context to a spiritual indication or spiritual things? Today I want to speak about the subject of the spirit of heaviness. And I want you to open your heart to listen very closely. Because for some of you under the sound of my voice, this message is for your now. While some of you, it's not for today. You can't even relate with that message right now. But this message would be for 3 months down the line, 2 months down the line. And I'm not prophesying doom to you that you're going to have to face the spirit of heaviness. But you see, it is better to know the answer of the exam before you write the exam. Yes or yes? Praise the Lord. The Bible says the spirit of heaviness says instead the mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I remember when I was in primary school, we had what we called inter-house sports. I'm sure we've all done that. So we had this guy who was the best runner amongst us. The guy is so fast. In fact, we used to brag with him every time we do schools against school, you know, and then we compete like that. Maybe 5 schools come together and then we compete. So we used to brag with him. The guy can dust anybody. And because of that, he had this very fair guy like this. He had this pride that any if you wake me up, you know, move. We used to call him Horse. That's sort of like his nickname, Horse. Very fast guy. So we had that thing just marked my mind. We had this inter-house sport where there were other schools that now had to run with us. So he did the 100-meter dash. The guy would do the 100-meter dash. He would do the 200-meter dash. And is the one who takes the last leg in the relay race. The last leg in the relay race. I'm sure some of you that used to run could relate. That's how they used to position very good guys. Last leg in the relay race. So he did the 100-meter dash. Elijah level. Everybody was trying to catch up. He won. Second leg. He won. Then he came to the relay race. Now, of course, you know, our school just expected that the guy was going to win because everybody just thought this guy would. As long as he's in the race, he's definitely going to win. I will never forget this. We had a coach then, Mr. Kuton. That's what we used to call him. And I remember that this guy was standing like this. It's just vivid in my mind. Standing, we're all standing somewhere here. Standing, not here, you know. I said here, as if it was. And the guy took glucose in one hand and water in another hand. And so I remember that the coach told him, take a little of the glucose and small water. Don't drink too much water. But he was too sure that even if I drink well, because of my experience of running a race, I'm going to dust everybody. So he started drinking water. And we're telling him, Amen. Okay. Thank you.
So we're telling him, this thing you are doing will lead you into trouble. Say, no. So he drank water. Like horse that we used to call him. So it was time for the race. On your mark, get set, go. We're running. So he got to his turn. Now, ideally, if you want to get the Barton, you're supposed to look forward and look backward at the same time, and you're sort of like jogging on one spot, you know. So he was coming towards him. The third guy was coming towards him. We were the second or third. I can't quite remember. By the time he took the baton, in fact, it's like, you know, it's like you want to push a car. I remember, of course, we came last, as you expect. So he came out. Listen to this. And this was what he said. We're, of course, young. We're all young. So we are fighting him, abusing him. And he said this. I will never forget that statement. He said, I feel like twice. In other words, he felt as though there were two people inside him. And he could not move. Because why? He was heavy. Based on what he drank. Before he drank that thing, he can run and win any race. But the moment he drank of that water, it felt like what? Twice. And he was heavy. The spirit of heaviness is a yoke. And this is why the Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The spirit of heaviness is a yoke.
Amen.
And the way it operates is, and I want you to follow me very closely because I'm going to say some very powerful things. It's like it's like a garment worn on you, whereby you now feel like what?
Twice.
You no longer can run the race of life like you want to. Your perspectives are blinded. Your belief is attacked. And this is how it happens to many people. And I want you to follow me, please. In fact, when you begin to see that oppression in your life, it usually starts out very natural. It starts out with the natural, and then it becomes a spiritual oppression. For example, every time your boss is attacking your work, just attacking your work, it usually will start with you complaining, why is this person always attacking my work? Why is this person always attacking my work? The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. In other words, wherever he finds a chance, listen, the way the word of God is like water, if you put it anywhere, it will find its way inside. That's how sneaky the enemy too can be. He always just finds a place so that he can find a resting place. So he looks for a place in your area of deficiency so that he can build a monument in that place for you. So it usually starts out with a natural complaint, something that is hard for you, something that is difficult for you. And then when the devil finds a loophole in that place, then he goes right inside of it. And once he enters there, the Bible says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, if the spirit of the Lord is liberty, what then is the spirit of the devil? In other words, wherever the spirit of the Lord is, you will find liberty. Wherever the devil is, you will find bondage. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what we call the spirit of heaviness. It's a spiritual yoke that usually starts out from the natural thinking, whereby you see things in a perspective that are very true. If you judge it, you see that these things are true about you. Oh, baby, things are not going out the way they're supposed to work out for your life. Things are not moving at the rate or the speed they need to work. They are true. But then you begin to think on those things. You begin to get yourself burdened and discouraged by it. Then what happens there? The spirit of heaviness then projects into that matter himself and then becomes the Lord of that matter. the spirit of heaviness. Now, what happens to you is this. One of the ways you would know that you are operating in the spirit of heaviness is that that weight lingers more than 2 days. Yeah. That weight. Now, there's a discouragement that can come from the natural occurrences. One day, you're still shoving it off, get yourself back. But once it starts going above certain days, something else is already operating there. In fact, listen to this. There are people under the sound of my voice. You wake up for the past, there's healing happening here today. For the past 3 months, you always wake up sad and tired. You can't even explain it. And not, it's not as though you had any bad report. It's not as though you've had anything wrong happening to you. You just wake up tired. You can't explain it. You can't even find strength to rise up from the bed. You just wake up tired. And many times you catch yourself sad. Not because anything around you is making you sad. You just catch yourself sad. Oh, I'm talking about the spirit of heaviness today. Praise the Lord. Remember the analogy I've said about him, that my friend, that our guy that ran? He said that he felt twice because there was something else that was above him, on him, that was making him not run at the rate and the speed in which he used to run before. Let me tell you something. Whenever the devil wants to destroy, it will sometimes anger on you, the spirit of heaviness, and say, be dealing with that, I'm coming back. Just take, be dealing with that one, I'm coming back. And let me tell you something. Now, because it is something that happened from a natural occurrence, somebody, just stay with me, please. It happened with a natural occurrence. For example, you had a breakup, a natural occurrence. You lost your job, a natural occurrence. Because it's a natural occurrence, sometimes, listen to me, it happened by your own guilt or something you did. Natural occurrence. When the devil brings in the spirit of heaviness, because you started to think about it in a natural occurrence and you saw yourself at fault in the matter, the moment the spirit of heaviness takes over, you will not see it from the lens of the spirit of heaviness, because you will keep judging yourself as though it's from still the natural occurrence. So you will give yourself the permission to keep thinking about it naturally. Unknown to you, something else is happening in that place already, but you didn't know. You were still in the lens of the natural, but it has moved to the spiritual. You know why? Let me tell you the strategy of the devil. If it is obvious, you will not fall for it. You won't fall for it. The devil doesn't operate with the obvious many times. If it is very obvious, you won't fall for it. So it's okay to move with your thoughts, align with your thoughts, so that you can see yourself as the person who has made that big mistake and keep hitting yourself. Are you aware that when you see yourself making a mistake, it gives you a consolation that you should keep thinking about and punishing yourself about it because you were the one? It's sort of like giving you a reason to justify why you should keep thinking about that pain. Because you saw yourself, or you were the one that caused that thing yourself. But what is going on there? The devil finds loopholes. He just looks around for those loopholes. Once he finds the loopholes, he then, the spirit of heaviness there. And then you go 3 weeks, 2 weeks. You can't explain. Somebody asks you, why are you just sad? What's going on with you? And you're telling them, honestly, there's nothing wrong with me. But everyone can see that there's something wrong with you. I said, no, there's nothing wrong with me. But deep within your soul, you know there's something wrong. But you can't give words to it. And let me say something again. The spirit of heaviness is, I don't have the time for that, but look, the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. The way spiritual things happen and functions, okay, happens a lot of times with individuals, locations,
societies, states, and nations. For example, it is very likely that if you come to Nigeria, very likely, because we are a spiritually intense nation. If you come to Nigeria, it is very likely that your spiritual life will go to another level because of the spiritual intensity on the nation. It is very likely that if you go to Turkey or some places in Europe, because of the spiritual climate, the spiritual decline in that place, your spiritual life can take a dive deep onto you only if you have, you know, some intentionality to the growth of your spiritual work. That's the same way. I don't know if this has happened to you. You will go to some states. You're just driving around some states. And if you're very spiritual, you will feel sort of like a harshness to the climate, to the energy of that place. Is somebody getting what I'm saying there? It's just like one man who shared a powerful story and talked about how there's a particular state in Nigeria. They even did a documentary about it, that the firstborn children, real life story, I think in Nigeria, yes, always have twins. And it's not as though anything happened. It's always have twins. And when they traced it, they said a man of God came there and they blessed the man of God. And man of God stood like this and said, from this day forward, the gift of my prophetic is that in this family line or something like that, people are going to be having twins. So think they are really spiritual things. In other words, they can be the spirit of heaviness upon the climate of a nation. There can be the spirit of heaviness upon the climate. I'll give an example. It's not because of the organization. Listen to this. It's not because of the organization of certain areas. It's sometimes because of the climate and operation of those areas. If you go to some places in this same Lagos, there is somewhat organization you would find. The climate and the air is sort of friendly. You go to another place in this same Lagos, it's sort of harsh. Somebody understand what I'm saying? These things are spiritual things. They're spiritual things. How can you explain how Jesus was going to lay his hands on the blind man? And what he did first was he took him out from where he was first and laid his hands on him. The guy started to see, and Jesus told him, never go back to that town again. Never go back there again. How do you explain that? So I'm using this foundation to just share with us that what is going on with the spirit of heaviness can be individual, personal, but also it's a spiritual climate thing going on in this country right now. Are you hear what I'm saying? And many people cannot explain why they are tired. They can't even explain why they are sad. It is not even, listen, are you aware that we have not completed 2 months? Out of it, somebody said that's true. Like out of a 12 month in a year, we are still in the second month. And for some people already, it feels like 11 months already. So you have March, April. Let me just count it for you in case you've forgotten your calendar. May, June, July, August, September. And guess what? Jesus is not coming tomorrow morning. The only option you have is to go back to the word and find out what does the word of God say. That's your security. And that's why I'm intentionally teaching about this thing. A friend of mine called me on the phone. I said, Pastor, say pray for me. It's like everybody needs prayer now. So there's a climatic thing about this, and it narrows down to individuals as well. Praise the Lord. I don't want to sound in a way to make you feel a certain way, but I believe what I'm saying to you. If you listen to some of the prophetic words that I gave in the beginning of the year, I told you some of those things that's going to happen. And let me stand on the same platform to say this again. It's going to get worse than this. While I was praying this evening, afternoon, I saw in an open vision, I saw lots of people taking cover in other African nations. A lot of other people. Okay, they're not giving me visa in America. They're not allowing me to go to school in London. I'll just go to Togo. Or I'll go to Ivory Coast. At least the One Nations Cup. Believe what I'm saying to you. I may not look or act like your usual prophet, but I tell you, if you listen to what I say to you, God speaks to me. It's going to be tough. That's why God wants me to prep you all ahead. That's why I need you to listen to this message. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalms 34 verse 18. What does the word of God say about broken people? What does the word of God say about people who are broken, people who are discouraged, people who are tired? I don't know why I want to say this. It's the day where you start feeling better. That very day, you will stumble on a post or a video or receive a call of something you are believing God for that somebody just got. And you are like, okay, God, rub it. Just finish it. Listen to me, everybody. Do you know why it pains Christians the most? Because of the fact that I'm serving you, God. I'm serving God. Why is this thing happening to me? I'm paying my tithe. I'm giving my offering. I'm serving my pastor. I'm doing all the things I need to do. You told me shout, I shout. You say right. You say jump. You say move. You say dance. You say feast, I feast. You say okay. What next? Listen, the Bible says, if they serve and obey me, that equation must be complete. If they serve and obey me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Many times, listen to what I'm about to say to you. Many times, there might be A you are doing, you are not doing B. The equation is still not yet complete. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you this. If God shows you a vision and tells you 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, there is no prayer that you're going to pray that will change the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. The wisdom is, what do I do in the 7 years of famine so that in the 7 years of plenty, what do I do in the 7 years of plenty so that when the 7 years of famine comes, I will know what to use to enjoy myself. That's the wisdom. Some situations will not change. Some situation only requires adaptability. And until you understand adaptive leadership and adaptability, it will be a painful situation. But because you lack adaptability, you don't know what to do. The Bible says the labor of the fools weary them, for they don't know how to enter into the city. The problem is they know the city, but they don't know how to enter. But they know the city. Praise the Lord. It will be worse, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not today. Psalms 34 verse 18. The Bible says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Psalms 34 verse 18. The Lord is near to those who has a broken heart. I want to point out something to you there. Let me not go ahead myself. Psalms 147 verse 3. The Bible says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Binds up their wounds. It says he heals the brokenhearted. Now, if you look at the mission statement of Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 14 and verse 18. Or let's look at it from Isaiah 61, verse 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Look at what the word of God says there. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, guess what? He did not stop there. "To proclaim liberty to the captives." The captives there does not mean people who are bound with chain and people who they are taking on slave trade like this and say those are the captive of the mighty, they will lose them. That, look, anything that holds you bound. In other words, if you are going through a tough period of time and it's holding you bound from liberty, you are being captive to that thing. Are you following what I'm saying there? Look at what God says. He said it's to send me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. In other words, to proclaim freedom to the captive, to proclaim restoration to the captive. And now says, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. The opening of the prison. In other words, the door is now open. You can move out. Do you know that? You don't have to be in a physical cell to be bound. You can actually be bound by guilt. Oh yeah. There are many people under the sound of my voice who you are bound by guilt. It's part of the things I want to talk about today. You can be bound by shame. Oh yes. Somebody's under the sound of my voice thinking about the investment you did 3 years ago. And they told you that if you that money, just invest that money and you'll be balling. They did the math for you. It was correct. This is not MMM or anything. Correct. And you saw the math yourself and you took your own money, the money you worked hard for, and dropped that money there. Every time there is a recession, every time there is scarcity, that thought keeps coming back to haunt you. You are held bound by that very thing. The reason why you have not been able to invest in the past 4-5 years of your life is not because you don't want to invest. It's because you are bound by an event that happened 2, 3, 1, 6 months year ago. Just held bound by that thing, captive. Some people, you borrowed someone's money and you've not been able to get it back, and that was, you trusted, and that was your total savings, your livelihood, bound by it. Some people, you trusted someone with your whole life and they broke your heart, either boy or girl, whatever, captive. So it is the shame and the guilt that holds people like that. Let me tell you something. Do you know that psychologists has proven that many times when people are discouraged, the reason for their discouragement is not actually what they think is causing that discouragement. I'm telling you. That is why, look, there are many times where if you go to the doctor and the doctor begins to look at you and says, "What's wrong with you?" and you say, "You have headache." If they only treat headache as symptoms, they cannot get to the root matter. That's why they would ask you to go and do a scan. When you do the scan and come back with the result, or a blood test, or whatever it is, when you come back with the result, they can then deduce from that result that this is exactly what is causing the problem. If they keep treating one area based on symptoms, they will not get to the root cause of the matter. Listen, there are people that the sound of my voice, your sadness and your discouragement is propounded issues over the years. There was only a trigger. There's just something now that you are calling it the reason for your discouragement. That is not it. That thing only triggered everything that was going on inside of you. That thing just triggered it. Now, if you solve that thing, you would still be in the same discouragement because you only solved what introduced you to let you know that you are discouraged. But not really the thing that was causing the discouragement. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You've not laid an axe on the root of that thing. Listen to me, children of God. You have at least 10 more months to go. guard your loins, for there is hope for a tree. At the scent of water, there is hope. Praise the Lord. And today, your heart will be strengthened with a renewed Holy Ghost conviction. Not renewed, a renewed Holy Ghost conviction. Praise the Lord. Now let me go into what I want to teach you. But I want to say this to you before I begin to show you things. Open with me to the book of NKJV, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Are you there? Look at me, everybody. Are you there? Okay, let's read the scripture together, everybody. 1, 2, ready, go. No, we can make it better. 1, 2, ready, go. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity. Look at me, everybody. What I want to teach you today would be one of the most simple truths about the subject of discouragement. When the Lord on Sunday started to give me this teaching, I was studying in another direction, which was heavy. I will be breaking out things for you. And the Lord started to show me certain things that I'd never even seen before. I'm going to make it, it's going to be so simple. There is a simplicity of the message of Christ. That if you can get confused by looking for what is not there. Simplicity. Listen to our simple, look, by the time I'm done, you'll be saying, wait, so is this all that I need to do? Yes. Simplicity of it. Are you ready? Are you sure? All right. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 19. I want everyone who is in the auditorium to stand on their feet and let's read together. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1. We're going to read fast. And we're going to verse 19. And I want us to follow the story. Are you there? Yes, sir. Oh, give me some more energy. Are you there? All right, let's go. 1, 2, ready, go. Now, came to Ziklag. The Amalekites had invaded the south and attacked Ziklag. Next verse, verse 2. From small to great, and not kill anyone, but carry them away and went their way. Wow, verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, born with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Wow. Verse 4. Then David and the people were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Wait. Do you know what it means for mighty men to be weeping? A version I read today said, and tears no longer could come out. Wept! You know, there's layer of weeping. Professional weepers, you know what I mean. Any, you know, professional weepers. Any small thing, I love you. Oh, you love me. Small compliments, like 3 tears. Professional weepers. Amen. Some of us, they can't give us some kind of film to act. Some of you, they want to just give films. Say, can you cry? I can't even start crying. They even told me to come and act. So you see that? They were crying. This is tears of agony. Shake body kind of tears. Not that one day you are crying. They say, will you drink coke? Say, bring it, please, bring it. That one, you are not serious. Tears of pain. Think about this. You take mighty soldiers to battle. The best people who can go for warfare, to the war front. They can, look at this, David's men. Shamgar. Look at the people who we clean their hands to sword and fight 700 people and kill them. The kind of men that David had. And these people were crying. The Bible says they had no more tears to come out. It means you were trying to bring it, come out now. Like tears could not come out. Do you see the kind of depth of discouragement and pain? Let's keep going. Verse 5. Hi, Mom. I've been taken captive. Next verse. For the people spoke of stoning him. In the midst of that, they will still want to kill him. You see how pressure invites pressure. Let me tell you, let me teach you a very powerful principle. Spiritual energy doesn't chase the devil away. It invites him. You go do 40 days prayer and fasting like Jesus did. Every time you do those spiritual investments, it's an invitation. Those spiritual investments doesn't chase them away. It invites them to see what you have on your inside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, let me tell you a truth today. Everything that is going on in the society today, in your life right now, is testing the faith that you have on your inside. It's proving the word of God on your inside. I tell you the truth. It's proving something that you have on your inside. Let me go ahead of myself for a bit. And when you come out of it, this word will be so true to you. This is what you are going to hand over to your children's children. I've proven this thing. I've gone through tough time. I know what the word of God says. Sit down. Let me teach you this word. That's what it means that you pass on inheritance to your children's children's children. If you give them car, it will fade away. If you give them house, it will fade away. If you give them money, if they cannot take care of it, it will fade away. There is something that is everlasting. It's the word. But listen, that word must be experiential. It's not what you are just talking and talking and talking. There is an experience that you have in the word that you say that I know what this... You know, it's different for Jesus. They say, God truly lives. And you are talking from an assurance. I know that my Redeemer liveth. There is a conviction with that one. I know. Praise the Lord. You see why sometimes God doesn't take these things away? Because it's helping to build a capacity inside of you. Yeah. Something you would hand over. But that's not the subject of today. Let's keep going. 1, 2, 3. Let's go back there. Verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Every man and his son and daughter. But David strengthened himself. In the midst of that, what did the Bible say? Strengthened himself. I will show you what that strengthened means. Let's keep going. Verse 7. Wait. What was the next response? Think about it this way. They want to stone David. He's running. Then he lit. Get me the ephod. Let me hear what the word of the Lord is saying. It's like saying, give me my Bible. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying to you? It's like saying, give me the word. Let me see what is inside the word. You can cry, but don't stay there, please. You can weep, but don't stay there, please. You can call a pity party around you, but don't stay there, please. But go back to the word. What is inside this word? Let me see. Should I pursue? Will I overtake? Then you will hear the voice of God say, pursue. You fully overtake and recover all. Don't stay there wallowing in that thing. See the response of David. The Bible says he strengthened himself. Look, let me tell you something. Do you know that when the word of God says, and David encouraged himself or strengthened himself, it did not mean that David moved from 0 to 100 immediately. You know, you can be reading the word and your mind is still flying everywhere. You are reading the text in the Bible and you are saying, God this, God that, and you are checking it out, but your mind is still everywhere. But little by little, all glory to God, little by little, that's what the Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord, it will what? Renew. Renewing is a process. It's gradual. It's like you're charging your battery. Your battery doesn't go from 0 to 100. As you are charging it, just keep it there. Just as long as you keep it to the socket, it will grow to a point that the battery will become full. As long as you can discipline yourself to just stay in the word, what is going on there is your battery is getting fuller, getting fuller, getting fuller, getting fuller, getting fuller. Just discipline to stay there. Somebody follow what I'm saying? Yes, so the Bible says, and he said, bring the ephod here to me. And Abitab brought the ephod to David. Next verse. Let's read together. Verse 8. 1, 2, 3, go. Inquire the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Listen. What did the Bible say? He said what? He answered him. It means that in the period of discouragement, that's when God wants to talk the most. He answered him. We saw the ministry of Jesus. He said, I've come to set the captives free. He answered him. I will teach you something very powerful there. Listen, Are you aware? Because when you say, I'm going to do this thing, but I've not heard the voice of God, are you aware that silence is an answer? My God. Silence is an answer. The answer of silence is that I'm with you. Oh, glory to God. Let's go. Because of time. So much to say. Someone has told me not to say it, so much to say, because if I want to say everything, I should just say it. Amen. So I'm trying to pick myself back now. Alright, let's keep going. One, two, ready, go. Next verse. Next verse. But David pursued. He had 400 men, for 200 stayed behind. Next verse. I will show you something about when you are discouraged there. You see, they gave him bread and food. So before you're going to kill yourself, eat first. But let's keep going. Not now. Let's go. One, two, three, go. Now, some of you don't say when you are discouraged, just be eating. At least David did it. Amen. Let's keep going. Wow, next verse. To whom do you belong and where are you from? Next verse. With fire. Next verse. And David said to them, so he said, hands of the master, and I will take you down to this troop. Verse 15, 16. Eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil we they had taken from the land of the Philistines and the land of Judah. Next verse. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped. Except 400 young men who rode on camel and flee. Next verse. So David recovered all. Next verse. David recovered. Put your name there and say, Shola recovered. Oh, say louder, Shola recovered. Some say louder, Shola recovered. Oh! Oh! Now, I want to show you the biblical approach from this text on how to recover all by this attacking the spirit of heaviness. So the Bible says he recovered all. But how do someone move from one who was crying, had no more tears, to someone who got to a point that he can now recover everything? How do you get to that point? Please be seated quickly. Number one, what does discouragement do to you? Write this down. Number one, discouragement makes you lose faith in God. Whenever you are discouraged, look, you can't look up and look down at the same time. It's impossible. You can't look front and look back at the same time. It's impossible. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't close your eyes and be seen physically at the same time. What discouragement does is an invitation. Discouragement is a guest in your life that closes the door of what God can do in your life. It comes to close a door of you seeing the faith in God. Every time you get discouraged, you begin to think and believe that God is not going to be doing the things that he said he's going to do in your life. So what discouragement does for you is to make you begin to lose faith in God. Listen to me now. The moment you lose faith in God, you have lost faith in His power, you've lost faith in His abilities, you've lost faith in His greatness, and you've lost faith in His confidence in your life. That's what discouragement does. It makes you begin to lose faith in God. Number two, discouragement makes you give up your dreams. The Bible says the devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does the devil, every time you see the oppression of the spirit of heaviness, it is come to steal your dreams. Sometimes last year, I was talking to a lady who was in a traumatic, I'm telling you, even when I heard the story myself, I felt so much compassion for her. Traumatic situation based on the series of events that has happened in her life. And she looked at me and said to me, even me as a pastor, I had so much compassion when it was time for me to pray to her, for her. I kept on saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, before I could find words to release. People are really going through things. That's why I tell you the truth. Embrace your own going. Because if you hear what other people are going through, you will know that your own going has not gone anywhere. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, the Lord is merciful to you. I'm telling you the truth. Can you put your hands together for a merciful God that loves you? I'm telling you. Have you sat down to listen to people's story and you are trying to untie the knots? The ropes are too tight together. You don't even know where to start from. What broke my heart in that conversation was when she said to me that she does not think, I don't want to go into the, but she told me what she was going to do in life, what God has showed her. And she said to me, she said, the least she thinks she can be in life is this and this because of what she's currently experiencing. And in my heart, I was saying to myself, the purpose of this attack is to steal this dream from you. Listen, the devil always finds a way to take from you the intangible for the tangible. So the tangible there is the discouragement. You can see it, you can feel it. The intangible there are the dreams you have not been able to actualize there yet. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you can see that it has a chance of happening as long as you are with God. But the devil tries to substitute these things for you. That's what discouragement does. Discouragement finds a way to take and steal dreams from people, steals visions from people. And let me tell you something. One of the ways it steals visions from you, listen to this one I'm about to say to you very critically, is not the end goal of the vision or the outcome of the vision. Look, if I want to get to that destination and I have to walk the straight line to get to that destination, and this is the only way required for me to get to that destination, and instead of me walking the straight line, I decide to then begin to go like this, there is no road that leads to that place. Am I moving? Am I moving? But am I moving in the right direction? Would I get to my destination? In other words, one of the reasons why people lose their dreams is not because the dream was stolen from them in the eventual destination. It's that in the paths of the journey, the devil tries to halt that process down. So you spend 3 years nursing a pain, nursing a discouragement, whereby you no longer have strength when it's time for you to start running the race of that journey. You no longer have strength to run the race. What has happened is that time has stolen the destination. Can somebody hear what I'm saying? That's what happened to some people. Praise the Lord. So the devil finds a way. That's why I always tell people, you see, the Bible says if a righteous man falls down seven times will he rise back again. Don't stay there on the ground. The more you stay on the ground there, the more time is going to get yourself out back. Praise the Lord. Think about the guy that Jesus met by the well who said, I cannot find myself inside the water. Think about that guy. Can you imagine how stinking that guy would be? Forget the sickness in his body. To be on that same spot for years. How stinking his mindset would have been. And how stinking his physical environment would have been. Do you know that that's the same way it can be in people's soul?
There's so much death and grass because you are one spot on your soul. You have refused to move. Unknown to you, the devil has stolen that vision from your life, stolen that big dreams away from you because of discouragement. You saw it as just discouragement, but unknown to you, it's a trap to steal your greatness. Is somebody hear what I'm saying to you? It's a trap to steal your greatness. The devil knows he cannot kill you, so you cannot die yet. Amen. But he can waste your time so that you don't get to that purpose at the end of the day. Of what use it is to be alive for 70 something years and not fulfill the reason why you came to the earth in the first place? Discouragement. It's a trap. It's a strategic trap to halt people's journey. And let me tell you something about the God that we serve. Even in the middle of that, your discouragement, it will keep showing you visions about what he wants you to do in your life. That's usually the frustration for many people. Don't show me anything again. He will show you. Amen. Number three. I have to run. Discouragement drains your strength. David says, "Why is my soul downcast?" When you are discouraged, your strength will be drained. You won't be able to move the way you're supposed to move. You'll just be tired. You just woke up, 10 a.m. You're already yawning at 10. How many gym things are you carrying? At 10. You're 10. Just drains your strength. Let me tell you something. Do you know that you can be jumping up and down with excitement, but you still don't have strength? Strength is a spiritual energy. Yeah. It's actually a spiritual energy. Strength in this context is the inability to do and pursue the things God puts in your heart per time. It just drains your strength away. I met many people who said, "P.S., I want to fast, but I don't know, I cannot fast. P.S., I want to give, but I don't know, I cannot give." I met a dear, sincere lady one time, 2 years ago, last year, who came to meet me and told me that, "P.S., I'm going through this sickness," and I gave her Healing Scriptures by Kenneth Hagin book. I said, "Go and read this book and take a word there and be declaring it every day. I tell you, this thing is going to disappear from your body." After 2 weeks, I told her to come back and see me. She came back. I said, "Have you read it? Where's the book?" She said, "I've not opened it once." I said, "Why?" She said, "I don't know, I have strength." You have what will save your life, but you don't have the strength to do what will save your life. That's what the devil does with discouragement. You will see victory in front of you. Just tap the red button so that you can open the door for you. But you will not have the strength to lift your hands to even tap it in the first place. Discouragement. Discouragement is deeper than just sleeping and tired, though. If that's all you think it is, it's spiritual warfare. I'm telling you the truth. "Oh, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not at my will, but your will." I can take from you when you feel weighed down what you came to the earth to do. I can take from you. Spiritual warfare. Number four. Discouragement, what discouragement does for you, it makes you forget the past and what God has done for you. You are completely blinded. Have you noticed that when you are discouraged, the only viewpoint you have is that very matter that is the reason of discouragement? It's very interesting how you forget what God has ever done for you. All of a sudden, the God that you once praised is now a lazy God that doesn't have the ability to do things. All of a sudden, the God that you want praise is now a God that doesn't have the capacity to answer your own prayers. Because your viewpoint is only targeted at that very thing that is the reason of discouragement. Praise the Lord. It makes you forget the past and what God has done for you. Number five, it blinds your eyes from opportunities. When you're discouraged, somebody calls you and says, "There is a job. Come." Because you've gone to five interviews and you've never gotten one, are you sure? I hope you know that you are likely not to go for the sixth one. You just say, I beg, I know they go again, Joe. Because of the constant repetition of no. But I prophesy from today, what has become a regular occurrence in your life that has kept you in a state, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from today, I attack that thing right now. Begin to begin to think positively from today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Begin to think positively from today. You are not disadvantaged. You are not disadvantaged. You are not disadvantaged. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Speak to your spirit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. It blinds your eyes from opportunities. Number 6, it affects your health. I hope you know discouragement affects your health. There are many people who have high blood pressure, hypertension. The sole introduction of that thing in your life was by discouragement. That's why you notice that every time you rest well, it drops. Listen to this. There's somebody understand my voice. I just saw an open vision now. I saw a heart, a 28-year-old heart that is functioning like a 80-something-year-old heart. It's getting rusty and dusty. It's getting older. There are people under the sound of my voice. You are already getting older in your soul and your mind than your age. You are already getting older. Because of the pains you have gone through, because of the ache of discouragement. And the way this thing happens is that it's just a matter of time. It converts to your physical body. It's just a matter of time. You start looking older than your age. You no longer have the glow that you used to have. But in the name of the Lord Jesus today, I rebuke that spirit of discouragement. I rebuke in the name of Jesus that spirit of discouragement. I lift off that veil of heaviness in your life. Oh, thank you, Lord. I speak new life and energy to that heart. New life and energy. Lift your hands, everybody. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Everybody on the sound of my voice. You know, I said this message was going to be simple. But listen to me. There is so much power coming out of what I'm saying. Receive new life. Receive new life. You used to be joyful like a baby, like a child. You were very open. All of a sudden, you have cake. You have become something else. Even you cannot describe it. You are now looking older. When you look at the mirror, you look yourself almost 30 years older than yourself. People are already even giving you compliment of that. Why are you looking older? You even feel old yourself. You feel it. You feel it. In the Aramanka, please pray the mystery for me. Karima Kalia Pote, Zelipro Kopelwa Kalama, Reketi Kapolwa Ketelia Kopolwa, Zeleka Porwa Ketelia Kapaya, Arande Kopolo. I overturn that attack of the enemy. I overturn that attack of the enemy. I overturn that attack of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Listen to this. I attack that spirit of guilt. That spirit of guilt and shame. I attack it in the name of Jesus. That thing that has been keeping you bound because of the decisions that you made and were wrong. Yes, you have made wrong decisions. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare the restorative power of God on your behalf. In the name of Jesus, I take that hand of shame away from your life. I take that hand of shame away from your life. I take that hand of guilt away from your life. He himself bore your sicknesses, bore your diseases. By his stripes you have been made healed. I declare in the name of Jesus, from today, let no man trouble you, because you bear on your body the very mark of Christ. In the name of Jesus. There were decisions you meant to make 3 years ago. There was someone you were to marry that you did not marry. And now you are looking at yourself in retrospect. And you are saying, I used my own hand to to destroy and destroy my own life. But in the name of Jesus Christ, that spirit of discouragement that came in as an invitation based on what you said and has capped on your life, based on what you were saying and decreeing, from today, I overturn it right now. Oh my God. I overturn it right now. 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 Overturn it right now. For your shame, you shall receive double honor. Double honor. Double honor. Double honor. Double honor. Double honor. I hear the word recompense. Ah, paraka. Play it for me. Parwa kalia. Perande kaskira palakante lakaya. Brazilia porwa. Paka kapatele. Jele purwa la kapaleatone. Salapa koparataya. Shamparaka polwa kalesa sebele. The Lord of hosts, the King of Heri, Yahweh Sabaoth. Let the angels of the Lord begin their walk tonight. Sharabakaya. The Lord of hosts, Yeshua of heaven, hey! Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. My rabakala poko seka palia patalia kaba. Sharabakalia batos. Listen, oh, such prophetic. There's somebody understand my voice. I don't know if you are here or you are online, but in the past few days you've been crying on your bed. And on that same spot, it's as though that bed, I saw in the Red Spirit, as though that bed has, you know, it's created so much mess on that bed. You can see that I'm talking to you right now because of the tears that constantly come out from that same spot. Bro, from today, if you are that person, please come forward. I want to lay my hands on you, please. If you are here right now, come forward now, now, now. Shapa katalia mokopara. The Lord, the Lord. The King of Heaven, Yahweh Sabaoth. Stand up, stand up. The Lord of hosts, the King. Wow, what is this that I'm seeing? I saw the angel of the Lord move mightily into this room, and I saw them with bags, bags. Oh my God. And I see as though they are taking hearts of stones. These are old, old archaic hearts. These that has made your heart stale. What is this staleness? This alapaya komoturia. This staleness I'm seeing here. Parakumre kompurwazika. Parakatelia. Shelemokopurwa. Parakapalia villa kapataya. In the name of Jesus, receive fresh energy in your spirit. Receive fresh energy in your spirit. Receive fresh energy in your spirit. Experience the oil of joy. The oil of joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. From today, no more. Free, no more. Receive new life, no more. Maraka palia boko soto. Yes, Lord, no more. Your past no longer have a hold over you. No longer have a hold over you. No longer have a hold over you. Yes, Lord. 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 Lift your hands, everybody, all over this room. My God, what a day! Shapa korwa, selekelia porwande kapali, elika parwa sakaba. Who are thou, great mountain, before Zerubbabel?
The Lord of hosts, the King of glory.
to me. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. There is a particular area of your life that constantly brings you discouragement. Let me explain what I mean to you. In other words, this area has created itself as a constant obstacle. For example, the moment you think about your career and when it's time for a next level of growth, it's almost as though you just know that this thing is not going to happen. Somewhere in your mind, that area is like a mountain, a great mountain in your life that constantly, in other words, when it's time for promotion, in your mind you already know, you've exempted yourself from it, or relationship, you've exempted yourself from it. Why? Because it has become an area of obstacle. But from today, hear the word of the Lord. If they are completely dispelled in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I saw someone here recently, you and your mom in the room together, you were crying. You and your mom, you were in the room together and you were crying. If you are that person, God wants to visit you today. Please come forward. You and your mom locked in the room together and you were weeping. Please come forward. If you are watching online or you are that person online, I stretch my hands towards you. If you are here physically present, please come forward. But if you are online, I stretch my hands towards you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let that thing that is the reason of shame and pain, let that very thing become the reason of joy. In the name of Jesus. There's someone here. The King of Glory. No more for today. Peace. You know, the new, we believe in the teaching of the word and the move of the spirit. We don't only just teach, we teach and we move in the spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Please be seated. Let me quickly close this up. I know our time is fast gone. Number 7, what discouragement does for you? It gives you a sense of hopelessness. You are just hopeless. Hopelessness. You just think that it can something ever come out like this? The beginning of the year, renew strength. Middle of the year, hopelessness introduces itself again. That's what discouragement does. How long? Must I serve you and still remain like this? Must I love you this much and I can't see it as a proof in my life? That's the things you say in your heart. Is there not balm in Gilead? Are there not physicians there? Today, the Lord whispers to your heart evidently is true love for you. Why people just get discouraged? Number one. Why people get discouraged? Number one. When they have delayed expectations from God. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you have delayed expectations, there are things you want from God, there are things you're believing from God, but they are not showing up. They are not coming. You have done everything. You have fasted, you have prayed, you have tithed, you have done everything you know to do. Delayed expectation. Oh God of salvation, won't you turn this thing away from me? Won't you turn this shame away from me? Number two, when things are not working how they should work,
number three. Why people get discouraged. When there is a cloud of discouragement in the location, city, society, community, or nation that they are in. When there's a cloud of discouragement there, people can get discouraged by that. It's not them, it's the spirit of that age there. It's the spirit of heaviness. How to act when discouraged. How do you act when you are discouraged? Number one, because of time, I can't give you everything here. I wrote 11, so maybe I'll continue the teaching another time. Don't make any rash decision when you are discouraged. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5. Remember the story of Saul. He was waiting for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice. But because the people put pressure on him, he said, bring me the burnt offering. And he went to do the stake, the sacrifice on his behalf, on Samuel's behalf. He said, look, if you had waited before I came, your kingdom would have been established forever. But because of what you have done, you've acted not in accordance. You have allowed what you were going through and the pressure you were going through cause you to act. Whenever you are discouraged, listen to what I'm saying to you here. Don't be quick to act. In fact, whenever you are discouraged, don't make any decision. Because I tell you the truth, by the reading of that discouragement, you are very likely to make wrong decisions. Because there's only one perspective you'll be seeing things. Only one is the perspective of the pain of that very thing that has brought discouragement in your life. You cannot see it from any other lens. Please. When you are discouraged, don't make decisions quickly. Don't be like Esau. Don't get displeased, tired, and just say, what does birthright mean? Abeg, give me food, let me eat. Don't. I remember one story that I heard many years ago. A lady at 35 who got married to someone who had, real life story, who had, unknown to her, who had 10 wives, but never knew. 10. Got married. And by the time she married, this is real life. Apparently, there is an occultic thing in that family whereby real life, I'm not telling you what, the man will come out like this with white things, you know what that means? And then every fortnight, every of the wife would have to kiss his breasts. And then they would go and bow down before a god. And she did not know. Out of discouragement, oh, you have not gotten married. So out of that, you see how discouragement can move you to action. Listen, discouragement is a call to action. It depends on how you want to respond to it. Tell the people, I'm the one being discouraged. Leave me with my discouragement. The very people you are trying to please will be the very people that will laugh you to scorn when the thing happened, when the thing happens. The very people. Don't. When you are tired, don't act. And let me tell you something. The biggest weight of spiritual power, listen to what I'm saying to you, spiritual power, spiritual utterance, is when you are tired or when you are angry. There is a weight that comes on you. In fact, you can be the highest level of anointing. You might be experiencing the highest level of the anointing when you feel that weight of tiredness or anger. Don't dare do it. Moses can strike the rock when you are angry. Elijah can declare, take my life. Jezebel wants to kill me when you are discouraged. When you begin to act and you begin to talk and you begin to sow enough seeds on the ground, you get yourself into places you don't want to get yourself into. Don't. Husbands, don't talk like that when you are angry with your children or with your wife. Don't talk like that when that weight comes. Be careful what you say. Discouragement. Number two, leads me to next thing I want to say. Watch what you are saying.
watch what you are saying. Don't just talk anyhow. Don't just talk anyhow. The purpose, I was saying on Sunday, that the purpose of discouragement is to put pressure. Are you following me? To push pressure on your soul so that you can say something. And you are snared by your words. And so once the devil can get you to say something, he can hold that words against you. Let me tell you something. Think about this. When the devil, the Bible says in the book of Job that God called a meeting and all the sons of God came and appeared. And then the devil himself showed up there. And he said towards God and said that it's because you have put a shield around Job. Abi, that's why he's serving you. He said, lift up the shield. And then let's see if he will still serve you. Let me ask you a question. How did the devil know that there was a shield there? It's very likely that he has tested it before. Tried to penetrate the life of Job. Then he found out that, wait, there's a shield covering this guy here. But what when you are talking, if you start talking, curse God and die. If you start talking, there are many things. Your words are spirit and they are life. You don't understand the power of words. You can create your life by words. I'm telling you the truth. We're trying to look for a property for the new now. Ikeja Lekki want to get properties for the new. God told me this. And by the way, if you are here and you know anybody that any property around Lagos, don't take us to some, just don't say one ministry has gone. Just if you see any big land properties like that, warehouses, big ones, and you know, please let us know. He said, how you move from where to here? How did you create it? I said, my words. He said, start creating it again. Words, powerful. You are where you are now by the words you spoke. You will be where you are going to go to by the words you will start speaking. When you are under pressure and you start speaking, or you are discouraged and you start speaking, it might be careful what you're saying when you are discouraged. Number three. I'll give you four. Number three, don't get into self-pity when you are discouraged. Self-pity does you no good. God responds to faith, moved by your tears, but only responds to faith. Did you hear what I said there? God is moved by your tears, but he only responds to faith. You remember the story of Jesus when he went there to raise a lady that was dead? When he came and said that she's only sleeping, what did they say? They were laughing. These were people that were crying before. Human beings. Look, if you put around yourself self-pity, you are the gist when they leave you. You didn't hear what I said? You are the gist when they leave you. And by the time they are gisting that gist, it is not that they are crying. They are laughing about the matter. You put people around you to be talking about it. You are now saying, they are not crying. You are singing songs. There's nothing wrong. You can sing songs, but don't be around those. Don't be pity party on yourself. Don't be playing songs. Don't be saying, God, oh God of my Zion, oh God of my salvation. It's okay. You encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't put people around you that will be pity party and be pitying you. Say, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, 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 yeah, hey, yeah. Look, that thing doesn't change anything. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Amen. The same people who were crying. Have you seen how fickle human beings are? How do you move from crying to laughing in a split seconds? Jesus says, this old lady is not dead. She's only sleeping. And they started laughing. This man doesn't know what he's saying. Look at what Jesus said. He chased them out. Because the spiritual energy they are operating with will stop what he wants to do there. You are neither cold nor hot. You are believing and unbelieving at the same time. And those are the people you put around you. How do you come out of your situation? Amen. Don't put pity party around yourself. Number four. Soak yourself in the presence of God in an anointed environment. This is not for you. This is not the time when people are discouraged. It is proven, particularly Christians, once they are discouraged, the first thing that seasons in their life is church. Church, number one. They cut church off. That is the time to find yourself in environment, spiritual, tangible, anointed environment. Where does the fish go and look for what for food to eat? Inside the sea. What's a lion doing around in Oshodi? Walking around metropolitan city, a lion. The lion is for the jungle. That's where you will see his animal to eat. We human beings are not the animal for him to eat. Amen.
Anointed. Number 5, last one. I have many other things here. Take good care of yourself. When you are, I'm telling you the truth. When you are discouraged, relax and be taken care of.
There's one old song. Let me cast him. Pastor Ladi, when we were on campus, he used to like that song. Mi ole waku, mi o par. Alubarika. I just wonder, why is this guy singing this song? And he'll be going like a hunter. Mi ole waku, alubarika. I said, what's wrong with this young man? Don't wound yourself. Let me tell you something. If you wound yourself, life goes on. See, life, you are old enough to understand life. It takes people at least 3 days to mourn. It didn't stop us from watching AFCON final. Life, take care of yourself. Don't damage your health because you are discouraged. Your blood pressure is high, and you know you're not going to see the doctor. You are releasing faith. Release faith. But you see, when people even say this faith and thing, I don't know why the Holy Spirit is moving me there. Sometimes people don't know how to balance. Christ is both the wisdom and the power of God. I had a story of a particular man who said that his wife was pregnant, and the doctor told him that, right in the labor case, told him do a CS. And the guy said he's believing God. The doctor said, do CS. This lady is believing God. Then the doctor came. The pastor came and said, what's the problem? Is it the money? He said, yes. He said, I'll pay for him. Then he now believed God. He now left believing God, now believed money to say, okay. So he was not believing God all along. He was believing mental assets. You see how Christians sometimes cannot be true to self. You know your faith hasn't got to the point where there's nothing wrong with you using drugs. If you know you have a high BP, buy a BP machine. Put it in your house and be checking this thing. While you are confessing your way out of those things, be pragmatic. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. In fact, doctors will say that a lot of Nigerians have what they call that thing. This BP, high blood pressure, but many people don't know because they're not checking themselves.
Your boss at work is the BP himself.
Hopefully, I'm not people's BP, sha. Because I'm a boss too.
Are you just doing anyhow?
Enjoy yourself. Take yourself on a date night. You and your wife, you don't have to go to a big hotel. Sit down, put dinner, use plates, and sit down. Even if it's amala, eat it there and just look at yourself and laugh and go and sleep on fan and cross leg, and it's okay. You took problem from work and you invited it home. Who is to be blamed?
Praise the Lord. Practical things to do to come out of this. Number one, war with the word. War with the word. Let me teach you how to war with the word. Look at me, everybody. The last one I was going to give you in how to act when you're discouraged, embrace the oil of joy. Embrace the oil of joy. Practical things to do when you are discouraged. War with the word. How do you mean by war with the word? Get a scripture and begin to confess that scripture. Are you hear what I'm saying? Begin to confess that scripture. Number two, write a confession for that discouragement. Write a confession. Don't leave it in your mind and say, when the discouragement comes, I'll
I'll remove myself out of it. I'll take myself out of discouragement. It has a stronger hold on you by the reason of its length in your life. Write a confession about that discouragement and talk your way out of that thing. Number three, last one. Practice joy. Practice joy. Now, the moment I said practice joy, you know what came to you, Christian? All of his mind, woo, 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 glory! You shout glory here, you get discouraged at home. You just shouted glory here, you get discouraged, you can't sleep well at night. And what does practice joy mean? Let me quickly tell you. Number one. Let me say something here. Joy is a, you know, circuit breaker. When light comes into a building, they have circuit breaker. Why? So that when the surge of light comes, the circuit breaker will stop the light. That's what joy, you put joy as a circuit breaker in your life. So that when issues of life is coming, it can break the flow of that thing entering into your life. So the first thing to practice joy is giving thanks to God. How do you give thanks to God? Number one, singing, dancing, worshiping. When you do those things, you are practicing joy. Shouting, woo! Practicing joy. That's number one. When you hear joy, many people, what we've attached to the word joy is woo, woo, woo. That's just one out of many ways to practice joy. Are you hearing me? Number two, giving and gifting is practicing joy. How many of you are like me? When you are happy, you give people things. Okay. When you're happy, response to stimulus, response to an external factor. Can you make that as part of your life? Practice joy by giving and gifting people. You're practicing joy by doing that. I'm telling you the truth. There's something that happens to you. It's an emotion you cannot explain. Whenever you give something to somebody and the person cherishes and loves it, you can't explain that joy of something you love, you cherish, and you let it go. It's an unexplainable emotion. How many of you, if you are a giver, you know what I'm saying? If you are not a giver, you are just looking at me. You cannot understand it. How do you practice joy? Number three, by lifting up your countenance. Let me explain what I mean by lifting up your countenance. By practicing joy. When you see people who are not joyful, by their countenance, you will know them. They are dull, they are just... No, they don't smile. We already know by the countenance. When they come to church, they will tie wrapper and stay at the back. I'm looking at, so that someone can say, what's wrong with you? And many times before you can get them to say, I'm fine. What is that? Practice joy. So tell your neighbor, lift your countenance. Lift your countenance. When you lift your countenance, it's you practicing joy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't go to work looking like you are ready to be sacked. You just wear rope, not tie your rope. Just come to work. Sad countenance. Practice joy. Good morning in this office this morning. How are you all doing today? You see, you are practicing something. You know the first question they're going to ask you, wait till they worry this person today. But it's a office, they will sack you. It's all right, shut up there, get out of this office. Practice joy. Get back home. Parents, play with your kid, your son, your daughter. Practice joy. Throw them up. Play them up. Play your daughter. Practicing joy. Please don't do this at all. We practice joy. Go. Are you following what I'm saying? Go to your friend's house. Bring Coke, Fanta, drink. Put it. Let's eat. Let's be merry. Practice. Lift your countenance up. If you are not using makeup, let us know you don't really like makeup. Not that you are projecting a sad countenance. Just let them see me bare. After all, my life is bare. After all, my life is bare. What's there? What's there to left? What has God? He has stripped me of. God has stripped me of. I'm stripped. That's why I am. So let me like this. Okay, practice joy. Lift your countenance up. Lift your countenance up. Hallelujah. Were you blessed? All right, let's rise on our feet and let's close. Amen. I think I need to start preaching midweek services from 6. All right, maybe from 6:35 or so. Yeah, because I'm really sorry. Every week I'm always really sorry. So I need to do something about this. I promise you today, cut this part out of the service. When I was coming here, I said I'm going to finish service today 8:30. I but I don't know. I need to practice. I need to lift my countenance up. Father, we just thank you for the word. And we declare that this word will rest in your heart. In Jesus' name. Look at me. What are the three things you are going to do? Number one. The things you are going to practice. Number one. I can hear you. War with the word. How do you war with the word? Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Number two. Number three. How do you practice joy? Number four. Number four. Yeah. Gifting is a part of practicing joy. I said about lifting up your countenance. I talked about thanking God, loving God, and lifting up your countenance. Amen. Amen. Practice joy. Smile. It's not... Practice joy. Amen. Will you practice it?
We hope you were greatly blessed by today's message, because God still has so much He wants to share with you. So stay connected every week to experience uplifting and life-changing moments in His presence.